Think we're streaming on YouTube. Hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you listening on the podcast, we are about to go live on YouTube. And I'm just getting the link and getting this all set here to go. No, it's not made for kids. And we're going to get the link. And we're going to share the link here. And we are ready to go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Suds News, brought to you by Suds of the Squared Circle. I am Vinny. This is Christy, back from a week hiatus. Angela is not here with us this week. But I want to thank Angela for chatting in and joining me last week as we went ahead and talked all about General Hospital. We've got a lot to go over this week. But first, before we get to anything, I do want to let everybody know we are an official affiliate for WWE Shop. So go ahead and go to sudsandsquirtcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. And that's going to have the affiliate link in the code. Go over there, buy all your awesome stuff for WrestleMania 30, WrestleMania 40, or Paul Heyman Hall of Fame shirt. Go buy that. We do get a commission off that. So sudsandsquirtcircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That is WWE Shop, which is a fanatic experience. We've got, like I said, we've got a lot to go over. And we have a birthday to celebrate. Matt from the 10-4, who we have seen on this show before and on Squared Circle News. And he is on the 10th Floor podcast, as well as Days for Dummies and their new show, which, what was it called? Forgive me, I think it was called The Skinny Dip, where they do a deep dive on one specific topic. That is Thursday nights. I have to just double check and make sure. Let's see.
Well, while you're checking that, I want to also thank Angela for filling in for me last week. Sorry, I have not been feeling my best. I'm still on the struggle bus, as they say, but I am here.
It is called The Skinny Dip at the Metro Core, a soap deep dive on one specific subject. So, it is his birthday today. So we have gone ahead and we're going to start the show out. We're probably not the best singers in the world, but we're going to go ahead and sing happy birthday to
I'm a better singer than you. I'm definitely a better singer than
probably,
you.
You're probably right. So we have a count of three. One, two, three.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Matt. Happy birthday to you.
Woo!
All right.
How old are you now? No, we won't do that.
Well, we don't get into ages here. But either way, happy birthday, Matt. Hope everything is going well over the 10th floor. Check them out. They are up on YouTube, 10th Floor Podcasts. They have two shows Saturday on Sundays and one show on Thursdays. But anyways, happy birthday, Matt. And if you miss the singing, just listen to the podcast. It comes out tomorrow. All right. Before we get into any General Hospital news, hey, Chad, thank you for joining into the chat.
Thanks, Chad.
Said you wanted to just take a listen, and he did say he's sorry that you're struggling, Christy.
That's all right. You know, I'm on the struggle bus. I've been on the struggle bus for a while. This is probably, you know, the worst. To be honest, it's probably the worst my mental health has been in a while, but I'll get there. I just, you know, sometimes you got to take care of yourself. And sometimes I'm going to need a week off here or there from the podcast. And Vinny's very understanding. And I thank Vinny for that. And sometimes a shower can do wonders for your soul, which is what I did earlier today.
And we're not talking about a bridal shower like BLQ had this past week.
Not a bachelorette shower, like a get clean in the shower.
All right. But before we get into any news of what General Hospital did last week, We do have some breaking news. It was just reported from TMZ earlier this afternoon, actually just about a half hour or so ago. I'm sorry, a few hours ago. The former Molly, not new Molly, not any other of that. The former Molly, Molly Lansing Davis, Haley Poulos, is going to jail. She has pled no contest in the DUI case, and she's going to prison for 90 days. This is from TMZ. Haley Poulos got thrown into jail this week over her DUI case, and from the way she looked going into court, it's almost as if she knew it was coming. General Hospital star, the former General Hospital star, was photographed walking into court Monday, and she definitely didn't look too happy with what she was about to face. So basically, she did end up pleading no contest and going to prison for 90 days. She pled guilty to driving under the influence with 0.08 blood alcohol content causing bodily injury. Basically, she was going the wrong way on the freeway in California. This happened in March, so it's over a year ago, March 23. So she's being held accountable. That's all you can ask for in the justice system nowadays. And that she gets the help that she needs. Because, you know, she's young. She's a young star, young actor. And, you know, I don't know about her personal life other than now she's going to prison for 90 days. But that 90 days will go by, you know, like nothing. Maybe not for her, but 90 days.
Well, 90 days, you know, in prison may go by a little slower than our 90 days out of prison. You know what I'm saying?
although it is a possibility of her getting out early for good behavior or good time, or maybe only serving half of the sentence. I don't know how it works out in California. But,
well, I wish her well. I hope she's doing what she needs to do for her recovery from that.
Nathan.
Because if, you know, alcohol is an issue in her life, then I just hope that she's doing what she needs to do to overcome that.
Apparently, they found a bunch of edibles as well as, you know, I think it was vodka.
Oh, well, that's kind of fitting that you say that, considering her character name was Molly.
All right, so.
Not to make any more jokes, sorry.
moving over to, before we get to General Hospital, I do have to bring up some stuff. Normally, we don't talk too much wrestling on the show, and normally I don't talk too much about AEW. All Elite Wrestling, obviously, is the second-tiered promotion in the United States behind WWE, and AEW, unfortunately, is going through a rough patch, so to speak. They were dropped from two of their international partners, DAZN, who brought their content to like 42 or 43 different countries, as well as Univision, that brought them to other international Hispanic speaking countries around the world. So they've been dropped by a lot of their international partners. I got this from the Wrestling News from Arcadian Vanguard. And that's just bad for Tony Khan, especially with their TV rights and media rights deals coming due for Turner and Warner Brothers Discovery coming up. So who knows what's going to happen? I have to set the record straight. I do not wish that AEW fails. Okay. I don't watch them because it's not my type of wrestling, but a lot of it has to do with the lack of psychology and the lack of booking, the lack of good booking in AEW. I'm just not happy with their product. So I am more of a WWE fan, but I'm a wrestling fan. So I want to see them succeed, and I would watch them again if stuff changed, but I just don't understand. I don't know what Tony Khan is doing wrong. Well, I know what Tony Khan is doing wrong. He just doesn't have a good booker in there. He's doing a lot of the stuff on his own, which, okay, fine. But when you're a billionaire and you could pay out and bring people in, they just got a COO. So maybe it'll change. But until they get rid of the Young Bucks, who are, you know, doing a lot of the creative and the booking with Tony Khan, then they really need to focus on their product rather than a lot of the WWE negative WWE stuff they've been doing. So I'll keep you posted on the Warner Brothers Discovery talks whenever they announce a new media deal for AEW in the near future. But right now they did get dropped from two international partners. Okay. Moving on. Thank you for those of you who are tuning in. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, just remember Dockside of the Bay is now on its own podcast feed. And on this one, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And again, Dockside of the Bay will be back tomorrow evening at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here where you're watching this show. We'll be covering episodes 7 and 8 of The Bay Season 1. That is on Amazon Prime, Peacock, Tubi TV, as well as Popstar. Okay. Now, we are set to go over to Port Charles. Chad, I've heard those jokes too. Heard a joke that AEW stands for All ex-WWE, or is anyone even watching? So, you know, we joke a lot, you know, and if you listen to the Jim Cornette podcasts or even Eric Bischoff, they're critical about AEW. And it's not that they want them to fail per se, but the fact of the matter is just it's not bringing in any new viewers, and it's losing viewers left and right. I mean, their AEW Dynamite, which is their A show, Wednesday night at, you know, 8 p.m. on TBS is, you know, only averaging roughly 700,000 people, you know, and that's been a steady decline from the very beginning. So it's sad that that's where it is, but, you know, until AEW gets better, until Tony Khan books better and does a little bit more psychology, it's not going to go anywhere. You know, it's not going to, and I want to see it succeed. I want, you know, guys like Chris Jericho and Adam Copeland and Christian are veterans there. But then you hear stories about guys like Adam Page saying that he doesn't want to listen to the veterans. He doesn't want to get advice. Well, this is the first time that he's been on national television in this company. So I would assume he would want to get that advice from some of the veterans. So, you know, it's just that was like part of the catalyst for what happened with CM Punk, you know, and now Jack Perry is back. You know, in the whole angle, and Tony Khan got Meltzer drivered on the last episode of Dynamite. So we'll see how it try, you know, if they try to improve it. But enough about AEW. I don't want to have a downer because I don't want to drive our viewers away. But all right, let's get on to General Hospital. The big to do last week was BLQ's bachelorette shower, bachelor, you know, party, bridal shower at the Savoy, and interspliced, you saw also Chase's bachelor party at the axe throwing range, which ironically is what I did for my bachelor party, was axe throwing. And then we went to Hooters afterwards. So
Hooters, they got good wings.
Yes.
I used to go there in high school.
Yes. No, absolutely.
The only reason I know that.
No, they're although I will say I'm not a huge fan of their wings. I like their crab legs, but I don't like their wings. It's too much breading. It kind of takes away, in my opinion.
That's fine. You know who does have good wings? Wingstop. Okay, sorry. This is like, I could do another podcast on this. I love wings. I have wings every Thursday. It's like my thing. Because the Hot Ones comes on YouTube. It's
best wings that I ever tried was a place that was in New Haven, Connecticut, called TK's American Cafe. No longer there. My former best friend and I used to go there literally every Tuesday night for wing night. It was like 25-cent wings. And, you know, we used to go to, you know, we used to get the wings. We used to get the beer. We used to play beer pong. That was back in my youth. And, you know, those days are gone. It was probably about 20 years ago or something. Boy, how times have changed. All right. Let's go. So, how did you like the bachelorette party? Do you think it went off without a hitch?
Yeah. I mean, other than Dex getting a little heat from the cops that yes. he's going to be working with, he's not accepted really in that circle, unfortunately, except by like Dante, Anna, and like Chase. So that's going to be a little rough. going for him at work.
I like
which I feel a little bad. I feel a little bit bad for him. But I mean it is pretty drastic departure from his last job. So I can understand why he'd be getting that kind of, you know, he's not gonna quite get a welcoming committee, you know, at his new job. So yeah, that's tough. I think that's the main highlight. I mean, I didn't expect Blaze to make an appearance at Chase's party. So that was nice.
That was interesting. I wasn't expecting that either. Oh,
I'm sorry. There's like a little roach in my room. So hold, please.
I wasn't expecting Blaze to be there either. Although I know I've heard some people complain, why are there ladies or women at, you know, Chase's bachelor party, whether it was Anna or Jordan, or Blaze coming in later on. And Sam was there. Sam came later on as well.
Yes.
To be honest, it's honestly less of a taboo now to have mixed gender bachelorette parties or bachelor parties. I know for me, there were two women at my bachelor party. One of them was my best woman, my best friend. So she was there. And then I told her she could bring one of her friends so she didn't feel outnumbered. But either way, it's not as bad as it used. You know, it's not as taboo as it used to be, I should say. Because when you think bachelor parties, you think more along the lines of, strippers and debauchery.
Which Chase said he didn't want. Exactly. I was like, good boy, Chase. No strippers. I was like, yes.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it went pretty well. And Chad brings up a good point, saying that, Dex got shunned by the guys at PCPD. He loved Dante trying to help him out and Anna's advice to him, which is true. Anna did give good advice to Dex. And she asked him point blank, do you want to turn back? Do you want to quit? And he said, no. So you got to give him credit for staying in there. He knows that he has to earn the trust of the other cops, you know, and he's got to start from the bottom. And you know, we've never actually seen somebody, go from the bottom to the top like that. We kind of saw it with Valerie, Valerie Spencer, who I have no idea where she is anymore. We saw her go through the academy for 2 weeks. She was a detective for a while or an officer for a while, but I like seeing Dex go through the obstacle course and having to go through that kind of montage scene, almost like,
oh, that was good. I liked it. We got, he's got muscles. We know he got muscles. So he did that with flying colors.
Yes. So. Yeah. No, I like that. And I like where they're going with Dex. So we'll see. Maybe he'll start feeding intel to Sunny down the road. Whatever, but that also could be the catalyst of turning Sunny in and putting Sunny in prison. So it remains to be seen. I'm not going to go over to Sunny right now because that has been a very, very, very controversial storyline that I've gotten numerous arguments with people on Facebook. And I'm not going to touch that. That'll be our main event. That'll be later on. At the bachelorette party now, there was a little bit of drama with Joss and Christina.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, see, I don't get this, okay? This whole thing, I feel like they could just get over it. I'm like, why is this like a huge thing? Because they had their, what I call, they had some words at the bar, okay? They had some heated, a little bit heated of a conversation. And then the next episode, Molly's like, oh, Christina got in this fight with fight at the bar with Jocelyn and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fight? There was no fight. They weren't in a cat fight. They just had some words at the bar. I didn't think it was like,
yeah.
I wouldn't call it a fight.
I don't like TJ now being so apprehensive about Christina. Like, that just, I could understand him being nervous because they're carrying, you know, her, you know, she's carrying her baby or their baby. But at the same time, it's like Molly was the one that was so against Christina beforehand. They kind of flipped the script and Molly and Christina kind of made up. And now TJ is, and now TJ is the one that's more apprehensive about it and questioning everything about Christina. Like, oh my God, was she drinking? Yes. Or, you know, is she going to be okay? Or is she going to, you know, always be in these stressful situations? I was like, dude, like, I get it that you're nervous because it's a surrogacy, but there are many women who have been pregnant who get into arguments. You know, it's as long as there's no physicality, as long as she's not being thrown downstairs or right. thrown off right. the parapet at Windermere, you know, she'll be okay. And even, you know, it's like even if she did go off the parapet at Windermere, I mean, Ace was still born after Esme took the plunge. So, I mean, hell, not many people. I mean, everybody survives that fall.
I mean, I don't. Yeah, Anthony didn't. Anthony Scar back in the day didn't, but apparently Esme did. Crazy things. But Anthony was like old. He was like, I don't know, 60 or something. I don't know.
But anyway, you know, it's like, I don't know. I'm just, I'm not liking TJ. I always thought TJ was more of the logical one. Like, Molly was more emotional because she was always the romantic one, right? The one who was a hopeless romantic, right? TJ was always the one where, you know, we should have a civil part. I think, yeah, he was the one that said, let's have the civil partnership. Let's be together. You know, he was always the logical one. He's a doctor, so he should also know that, you know, an argument is not going to cause harm to a baby. You know, elevated stress level continuously, maybe, yes. But, again...
Well, I think Molly kind of, to me, she kind of, like, over-dramatized the situation. Like, oh, they had a fight. Because fight, to me, like, I think of fists. Fine. I think of hands like on somebody. Like I'm like, fight? They had some heated words at the bar. Like that wasn't a fight. That was a heated argument. Okay. It's like I don't know. I guess maybe she has different feelings about what happened. But I'm just like there was no there was fight. There was no fight. I think this whole thing with Christina and Jocelyn, though, like, I feel like they could work through this and not be so have such animosity towards each other over Sunny. I don't think it needs to be this constant, like, oh, I don't like you because you feel this way about Sunny and I feel this way about Sunny. I'm like, who cares? Get over yourselves. Just, like, chill.
Yeah, but you know what? I like the drama aspect of it because it kind of does show, you know, they were stepsisters or step half. I don't know how the hell that works, but they are, they were stepsisters. So, you know, it's natural to choose the side of your mother or your parent, you know, your biological parent. So, yeah, you know, Christina will defend Sunny. However, with Jocelyn bringing up to Christina had to know that, you know, in my opinion, Jocelyn brought up to Christina that, you know, Sonny's the one that sent Dex to kill Cyrus. Sonny was the one that did beat up Cyrus in the church.
Right.
And, you know, yeah, Christina's going to justify it in her head and be like, you know, yeah, well, Cyrus deserved it. He did something that was going, you know, that was, you know, whatever, that pissed my dad off or whatever the case was, you know. And also Christina has to know, and this is the one thing that I really don't like, how everybody knows the alleged mob boss Sonny Corinthos. So How is it that, you know, even though he protects his kids from the business, you hear the whispers, you hear the rumors, right? And even that, you know, even when then even when Joss or Christina was in Dawn of Day and Jason came to save her, and knowing full well that Jason has always been the enforcer for her father, like you would think that she would know that there's something there. He's not just a coffee importer.
She does seem to have this kind of like rose-colored glasses view when
Yeah.
it comes to Sunny. And so in a way, I'm glad Jocelyn is like reminding her of like, by the way, you do know Sunny did this and this and this and this. So I do think in a way it's a good thing, like, because she does have this like view of her father where she wants to see the best in him and kind of ignore the parts where he's not actually
Right.
such a good person. Well, that he's done like
Yeah.
things that could send him to prison, which Anna actually does have evidence of now. So, and is pursuing a case possibly. So that's interesting.
So yeah, and that's and I guess we'll get to it now. Since we broke the cherry, we broke the water bin, you know, we popped the cork. Let's get to Sonny. And the fact is that here's the deal. For so long, Sonny Corinthos has been the face of General Hospital, right? He's, you know, he's a beloved character. He's somebody you root for, but he's a heel. He's a bad guy. He's a villain. He's a mob boss. He kills people for a living, you know, or he orders the kills, you know. Either way, he's a mafia kingpin. How is it that so many people are upset at the fact that Laura being the mayor of Port Charles and Anna being the police commissioner are against him and trying to rid their city of organized crime? How is that so hard for people to understand? I'm a huge Sonny fan. Maurice Bernard, a fantastic actor. But how does that not make sense to people? I don't get it.
It made sense to me. I didn't have a problem with it. To be honest, that kind of made sense for Anna to go, you know what? Because of my friendship with Sonny and the way he's treated Robin, I did, you know,
The
treat
blind eye.
him differently. You know, I turned a blind eye and everything. And then I really liked his conversation with Laura, that she brought up some really valid points in that conversation. So I didn't have a problem with it. I mean, I guess there's going to be some controversy always on social media about that, but I
Cool.
mean,
Bitch and complain and whine and cry about everything. They were mad at the old writers because it wasn't moving fast enough for them. Now they're complaining about the new writers because they're changing things up and they're hitting their beat, so it's a little bit faster paced. Make up your freaking minds, people. Like, this is what, you know, you see the haters on Twitter or Twix. You see the haters on Facebook. You try to come in with you know, telling people the new writers just started, let's say a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, in terms of what we've been seeing on TV. Give it time. Like, how could you be upset about one aspect and then completely be upset again about the same, the opposite thing?
well,
What, you
this
know?
is the thing about General Hospital fans that I have noted since I've been a fan since 2006, early 2006 when I started watching. They will always find a reason to complain about anything. Doesn't matter who the writers are, doesn't matter who, if Frank's in charge or not. Like, I mean, I think maybe it's in general, it's probably just a soap opera thing. But General Hospital fans are the most like, I think they're even more ferocious than some of the other soap that I've seen. Like, they're just very aggressive about their opinion, especially on Twix, which is why I really don't spend hardly any time on there whatsoever anymore, because I've just gotten thrown to the wolves too many times. When you go through that, when you get canceled a few too many times on Twix, you're just like, okay, I'm done. Like, I'm just like done.
Yeah.
Because y'all like, but the thing is with Twix is, y'all going to cancel somebody. And then a few days later, you're going to go cancel somebody else. So, you know, it's like, I'm, you know, whatever happens with you is going to be old news in within probably 5 days. So that's the one thing that you can count on. But somebody's always going to have a problem with something on GH. Like GH fans usually, at least on Twix and Facebook, maybe always will find a reason to complain about something.
Yeah.
I could always find a reason to complain about something on GH too, but I do it like in a constructive criticism point of view. All you know, right, like, thank you for writing the show, because it must be hard writing for 5 episodes a week and trying to keep everything straight, you know, because there's probably some things that are going to get dropped, or there's some things that are maybe not going to be quite right. And the fans always pick up on that, because a lot of fans have been watching the show for, you know, 25 plus years, and like, they know all the history and they know this and that. So they're going to be like, hey, why did you rewrite history on this? Or why did you take this tack or whatever? So I get it. I get it. But I think Twix in particular, we know fans on there take it to the extreme.
So there's a couple of posts I want. First of all, let me catch up on the chat. So Nathan and chat are having a pretty good conversation in the chat. I just want to kind of catch everybody up on that. If you're not watching live. The problem is that that after all this time, Nathan says this, after all this time, both of them, as of now, want to go after him. But when he's back on his meds, are they going to grovel and say they're sorry? And then Chad comes back and says, honestly, that's why I hate Twix these days, and why you don't see me on there. It's so toxic. Just seeing the aggression, abusive tweets. They're just also very negative. Nathan said, you have Cyrus who can't be trusted, but Laura actually believes he's changed. This is the same man who had a hand in blowing up the floating rib involving her daughter, Lulu. Others were impacted because of Cyrus. So that's kind of what's going on in the chat right now. And I agree completely with a lot of that stuff. And in terms of Sonny being off his meds, or his meds being, you know, changed right now, I understand that, but that's also no excuse for, you know, all this stuff happened before his meds were tampered with, as far as we knew, based on story. So when he found out about Nina, you know, being the one to call the SEC, this was before that conversation the Fallon team had with Brennan, saying they were going to, you know, change the dosage on his meds. So this all happened beforehand, allegedly, apparently, based on story.
Allegedly.
So I want to read a couple of posts here. This is from Facebook. I belong to a group called General Hospital Fans Official, which, you know, there are multiple out there, I guarantee you. This one, dear writers, please listen to us viewers when we say we are tired of all this nonsense hatred towards Sonny. Many of us have watched this show for decades, and the things you are making these characters say and do is very out of character and makes no sense at all. Please stop. And I replied and got a boatload of replies to me. And I said, speak for yourself. I'm loving the new direction of the characters and the show. Plus the quote-unquote viewers that you speak of are a very minimal portion of the audience, because the majority of the audience are not on social media. And I did point that out, and there's a lot of people saying it. However, there's one thing that I posted. Let's see. Okay. I also did post, because Maurice Bernard came out and said something too. He went ahead and he actually posted something on Twix himself. Somebody had at Book Convos on Twix said, I love it, and a good way for Jason's return. We sure couldn't have another prisoner or amnesia story, but get a little scared seeing some scenes. Please assure us the story is not star Maurice's exit. Maurice quote reposted that. Hi, Jeannie. How are you? Welcome to the chat.
Hi, Jeannie.
So Maurice pointed out, he said, I think if it was my exit, it might have been written even harder for Sonny. I selfishly love this. I've never played what I'm playing, except for when I started. I have all faith in Elizabeth Corte and the writing staff. So I posted that on Facebook and said, this should quiet all the haters, because he said the same thing. And then somebody else replied to me saying, I am one of those quote unquote viewers and do not enjoy the exploiting of bipolar disease. Writers, just move on and change to a different topic. Sunny's meds are being tampered with. Not cool. Let's get this storyline over with. And I replied saying Maurice Bernard has bipolar disorder himself and has said he's enjoying the story and the character change that came with it. He's an excellent actor and the story has been fire lately. So I just had to read a couple of those tweets because of the simple fact that
I think Maurice won't have an issue with it because it brings more awareness to bipolar disorder as a whole, right?
Exactly.
So some of these viewers are just going to have to stay bothered because I don't think the storyline's going anywhere. So
just a couple more chats to catch up on. Chad said, Nathan, you make a good point. That's the thing. It can change soon as he's on his meds, and okay, I have a feeling you're right, they'll go back to being good with him. And they said, and a good point about Cyrus also. Cyrus was the one who supplied drugs to Sasha and put her in a coma. Laura, I have to be honest, is being very picky about who she sympathizes with and believes. And that's when Jeannie said, that is also one of hundreds of fake fan sites, which is true, you know, in terms of what I was reading on Facebook. There are a lot of fake fan sites. People just, and I try to avoid it. Yes, I'll put in my comments because I like to stir the pot a little bit, I have no problem stirring the pot, controversy creates conversation. I haven't seen the cash the controversy creates, so I'm not going to say it that way. But anywho,
you and Nina have that in common then. You're both potsters.
And maybe that's why Nina's been getting on my nerves lately. But all right, so we also have to kind of move on from this little debacle. First of all, so Jeannie says, I have watched GH in 77, so you've definitely watched it longer than I have, and so
Jeannie, kudos to you, because that's a long time to be watching the show.
And YNR as well. So wow. We have a veteran in the house in terms of watching jokes. I give you a lot of credit.
Fantastic. I can barely keep up with one soap.
I can only keep up with the soaps that I do shows on. GH and the Bay at this point.
Hey, back in the day it was six network soaps on television, and I don't know how people did all six of those. I'm like, don't you have a job? Like, if you have a job, how are you doing that?
You know what? They used to be simulcast on radio. My mother used to listen to all the soaps on radio when she was, one of her jobs. So, I mean, and this is
multitasking, I guess.
So, anyways, all right. So, kind of moving on. So, we did see Jocelyn go to Jason after her little spat with Christina. Yes. That was a great scene. I like that she still goes to Jason for advice, and she knows that she can go to Jason for advice. I mean,
just like her mother,
right?
Like mother, exactly. Like daughter. Yeah.
But then, she basically spills the beans, she spills the beans about, Dex becoming a cop, and she feels that Sonny's going to target him now, and this and that, and all, which are valid concerns. But of course, Jocelyn is just like her mother. She's trying to interfere because she also went to Anna and said, don't hire Dex, because that'll put a target on his back. So she's just like her mother. She's interfering where her nose doesn't belong. I mean, yes, you care about the guy. I get that. You care about the person. You want to make sure he's safe. I understand that. But you can't go to a job. I'm sorry, but if somebody went to my job and said, "I'm sorry, don't hire him because of XYZ," what? Why are you interfering? Like anyways,
Well, yeah. What I think was more interesting than Joss going to Jason after that was Jason immediately like went to Sunny after
yes.
and was like, "We have some family business to discuss." And I was like, "Oh no, he's gonna tell him that Jocelyn came to him about Dex." Oh, jeez.
Jeannie, we admire your watching all the recap podcasts because it's also fantastic to know that people are watching and that you're watching all this. We're all a family. We're all friends. We're all a community trying to make sure that because we all do have different opinions and different viewpoints on certain storylines. Whether it's JLJ, whether it's Pier 54, the 10th floor. Dish and Days for the Days fans out there. We all are friends. We're all in one community, and it's just we just want to make sure that we're providing entertainment and also giving you our thoughts and our commentary on the shows. So it's fantastic, and thank you so much for watching all of
Right.
you. We appreciate the support. All right. Yeah, Jason going to Sonny and basically saying, Dex is becoming a cop and all this, we got to talk about family business and Jocelyn doesn't want to see, Dex get hurt, So it's I like the dynamic now between Jason and Sonny. Like it's completely out of nowhere and I'm loving the story. I am absolutely loving the story because that's the one thing I said back when the rumors were starting that Steve Burton was coming back. Because I said it right here on the show. I said, I love Jason, but I don't want him to come back if he's just coming back to be there and just coming back to come back. The story has to be there. The story has to be great. And the story needs to make sense. It's like Hulk Hogan, whenever somebody would give him a creative decision saying, well, what's next? And that's what it comes down to. It's the story. It's the storyline. And I'm loving it. Let's see.
Personally, I do like that Jason and Sonny are at odds with each other. I think it's a fresh new dynamic for them because it's better than like, okay, let's go back to being best buds and working with each other. Like now it's like Jason's like, I'm back. I'm having an office here, whether you like it or not. And I'm here to talk to you, whether you like it or not. So I like that. I like that they're kind of like on an enemies type. Well, they're almost like enemies now or frenemies, whatever you want to, whichever one you
Well,
want to pick.
here's the deal. Sonny is
Yeah.
cutting himself off from everybody. And we know as the audience is because his meds are being tampered with, right? Because we've seen him have his manic episodes, other times throughout history where he's kind of been this had this erratic behavior. So this has been documented. And I kind of like Jason looking out for Sonny at one point saying, are you on your meds? He is. He's on
Valid
his meds.
question.
He's taking his meds. But Ava now knows that his meds are only at 10% strength that we have known because of the fact that Valentine said it, that he had talked to the pharmacy that they're going to lessen his dosage. So now it's to the point where Sonny, even though he's doing everything the right way, he's got to be the one to go to say, hey, something feels off, or like somebody has to go to his doctor and say, I'm worried about Sonny. Could you look into this or talk to him
Well, yeah.
because
See,
he's spiraling?
interesting you're bringing this up. Well, okay, so the only one that we know of right now is Ava, who
Right.
knows that his meds are being tampered with. She hasn't told Sonny.
No.
So that makes me think that she is working some kind of angle Because if she was really Sunny's like bestie right now, then wouldn't she like say, "Hey, I found out your men are getting tampered with."
Yes and no, but think about it coming from Sunny in his current mindset. He's going to ask her, "Why did you run a test on my meds? Or how did you know? Or what gave you that impression?" Like, that's another trust violation. And while she could have, you know, playing, you know, just taking everything at face value, if she really does care about Sunny, which Ava as a character wants the power. So the fact that she's the only one that he trusts right now, that puts her in a very powerful situation. I did like Carly and Nina talking, and Carly made the comment, "I don't agree with you on much, but that I agree with you on," with when Ava being a bad influence for Sunny. But you know, if everything's on the up and up, and Ava goes to Sunny and says, "Hey, I have to talk to you," you know, okay, well, Chad, thank you for not spoiling it, Chad, but I guess a lot of the answers are on today's episode.
I haven't seen today's.
Haven't either. But, you know, here's the thing. Sunny would turn on her and say, "Why are you looking at my meds? Are you tampering with my meds? What gave you the impression that something's wrong with my meds?" Yes, that's the answer, is that the meds are at 10%. But again, she has technically no reason to test them. So that would just be
somebody else. She was curious, though, because she was taking some of his meds to try to go to sleep.
Right.
And then she's like, "Why isn't this working?" I guess that's why she tested him, right?
I mean, she could easily say, I wanted to get to sleep. I know you take sleeping meds and, you know, whatever. But again, it still comes down to that trust issue. That's what it boils down to, is trust. And I'm not bipolar. I'm not on bipolar meds. I'm just trying to get into the character and the character's thought process. But anyways, that's, you know, I really liked the conversation, and I posted this on Twix as well. I loved the conversation between Laura and Sunny at the gallery on Friday, because it needed to be said. I think my dog is dreaming. I don't know. Maybe it's on TV. Anyways, that conversation needed to be had, because Sunny has to understand that his friends that are in powerful places, right? They can't keep turning a blind eye to especially his erratic behavior. And the fact that anytime he's philanthropic, it's because he's trying to launder money. That's what all crooked people do. You know, so they have a ton of money. So, and to make it clean, they're going to go ahead and donate it to the hospital, or donate it to a wing of the hospital, or buy a painting for the mayor's house, because that turns it into clean money. You know what I mean? So that conversation needed
to be had. Yeah. Yeah. I think Laura said something like, "Well, you expect me to just like turn a blind eye because you bought a wing at the hospital or you did this?" Like, that doesn't excuse your behavior. So
it's uncomfortable for longtime viewers, and I'm going to say that out there, because I understand longtime viewers saying, you know, "Oh, well, we've been watching for years and years and years, and this is outside of their characters." First of all, you have to understand is not every, this is a soap opera. There needs to be drama. You have to have a villain. You have to have a good guy and a bad guy. General Hospital has historically had a good set of bad guys, good set of villains, whether it was Jerry Jacks or Helena Cassidyne or, you know, Ryan Chamberlain. They're all dead now. You know, Sunny Corinthos has been a long-term bad guy, but has been endearing to fans, because we still don't know what exactly he does running through Port Charles that puts him in organized crime. If he's against drugs and he's against guns, What or arms dealing? What exactly is he doing that he's pushing through Park Charles? We still don't know. But the fact remains in that he's
right.
You know, a mob boss. He'll have somebody killed. We've seen that. You know, we've seen that where he's given an order to have somebody killed. You know, he went out and beat up Cyrus. Cyrus is another thing, right? He's been to prison. He's paid his dues. He says he's reformed. At this point, I'm inclined to believe that he is reformed. Yes, I know. Start throwing the hate at me. But I really feel at this point, I feel like the previous writers had, or not even the previous writers, the FICOR writers that were writing during the strike wanted to have Cyrus be that, you know, oh, I'm a Christian. I've turned my life around, but yet he was in charge of the previously known Gatlin gang, Mason and Austin, right? He was their uncle. He was the one that was calling all the shots there. But once they turned the corner and the new, you know, and, you know, Chris and Dan, who were the previous writing regime, got the, you know, the book back after the strike ended, they said, no, we really want him on long-term. We want him to be reformed and to be that, you know, man of God, right? And to preach the word, which, you know, a lot of people find God in prison anyways. That's not a fallacy. Whether they continue living that life afterwards, that's, you know, another story. So then with the new writers, they kind of continued that. And I do feel, you know, especially with Cyrus going to Anna and signing, you know, his statement about the night that he was beat up, you know, going, you know, from Sonny, pressing charges, getting his, you know, signing his statement. So clearly he's doing what's right now. Could that be seen with an ulterior motive to get Sonny out of the way so that he could take over the territory? Sure, it can. I don't, you know, he's done a lot of stuff, and I'm inclined right now to think that he's actually changed his tune. And maybe I'll be proven wrong, but I don't know at this point. I feel like he really is a good guy. All right.
Well, for now, Cyrus.
For now. Yes, right? For now.
For now? Nah, I suspect something else. I think he has ulterior motives. That's just my thing. Because I think he's just going to, that's just a facade, the whole I'm a changed man, God thing. I don't know.
I think it was at the beginning, but it hasn't been. I think it was at the beginning, but...
He could be playing the long game. I don't know.
I wouldn't doubt it. Although with his age, I don't know how much of a long game there's going to be. Because he is in his 60s or, you know, something to that effect, 50s, 60s.
I don't know. There's like 95-year-old marathon runners out there. So,
that's,
you know,
very true. That's very true.
He could be in good shape.
How did you feel about Trina going over to Laura's to help her with Ace?
That was interesting. I was like, oh, this is like a new dynamic, because now she's like offering to, like, you know, babysit Ace on like a regular basis. She's like, oh, I could talk to Ava about my schedule and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, really?
Like, what? Yeah, I don't know. Is it a way for her to stay close to Spencer?
I think so.
Is it like, because I don't know, maybe that's part of her grieving
process. I think that's the only thing that makes sense is she, yeah, it's part of her grieving process. I think she wants to stay close to Spencer. And the reason she didn't want to like hang out with Ace before was because Esme was there, right? And now that Esme is no longer part of the equation, I think hanging out with Ace is maybe a more enjoyable experience for her, considering Esme is no longer in the room. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I guess. And then maybe she feels like Spencer would want her to do it on some level. I don't know. But, I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting little dynamic. But I was like, I didn't think she was that into this baby before.
Yeah, like, well, she was. I mean, she always really cared about Ace. She did, you know, bring him stuff before. And I get that. So, but I do feel it's her way of staying close to Spencer. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. I still really thought it was out of the ordinary. And maybe it's just wanting to show the child extra love, considering his brother is gone, his father's in jail, his mother is gone, you know, and all he has is his grandmother and his grandfather's or grandmother, step-grandfather slash uncle or step-great uncle or whatever the case is with for Kevin. But, you know, and now they've adopted him. So it is, you know, his mother and father. And, you know, now, Laura's like, oh, this might be a little bit too much on my plate being mayor and having to watch Ace. And she can afford daycare. Like, I don't, like, why is it in daycare? You know, I don't.
Yeah. Right. Like, you could just drop them off at daycare. I don't get that. I don't quite get that either. Because she has the money. She has the resources. Like, I mean, understand why this would be.
Is a, you know, a well-known psychiatrist. And she's the mayor of the city. I'm sure they could afford daycare. I mean, child care costs are very high now. I understand that. But I feel like they're well enough to.
But you know what? It's probably for, like, just to add another layer of, like, some drama for the show, too. Because it would just be, like, predictable for her to just drop Ace off and take care of the show. So if Trina's like a part-time babysitter now, I guess it just kind of adds another layer to the show.
I believe it's almost to the point of it's going to cause some tension between Laura and Kevin as, you know, they feel that maybe they bit off more than they can chew by adopting Ace. You know, that's where the story is eventually going to go, I assume. But... And then maybe Nicholas will be back in the form of Adam Huss, we hope. All right. So, gotta move on. We're already about an hour in. So let's kind of move on a little bit. Before, let's see, so I was going to talk about one other thing before I said anything, before I moved on. But again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Go ahead, hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Also, programming note, I had a great interview last week, last Thursday with, David Penzer, who's the former ring announcer for WCW and TNA. He put out a book called Sitting Ringside Volume 1. I had a great conversation with him last Thursday. It has been posted up on this YouTube channel, as well as the podcast feed under Squared Circle News. Which is under the Suds and Square Circle main feed, entitled Episode 7. So go ahead and check that out, and then go ahead and buy Sitting Ringside. You can go to davidpenzerbook.com or amazon.com. It is Sitting Ringside Volume 1, WCW. Check out my conversation with him that is up already on YouTube and the podcast feed. He's a very humble guy, a very good guy, and hopefully we'll be able to get him back on. The book is co-written by Guy Evans, who's been on this network a couple times in an interview with me. Okay. Got to talk about the story between Finn and Gregory. Finn gets home from the bachelor party and Gregory is paralyzed on the couch, you know, with his breathing mask on, and Violet is scared shitless. You know, she comes in, she's so scared because her grandfather can't move and he's the one that's watching her. So did she call 911? I don't think she called 911, but at least, you know, she was awake with him.
No, I think she just called.
I know Chase called 911.
Yeah.
And then Finn,
Finn.
Finn and Gregory kind of have the conversation where Finn's like, you can't be on your own anymore. You know, you need to either have an in-home caregiver or, you know, what have you. Gregory doesn't want to lose his independence, understandable, you know, but at this advanced stage of ALS, you know, especially if he's going to have paralyzed.
He's got a lot of pride. It's a pride thing, and it usually is with a man. It's a pride thing. Yep. It's definitely a pride thing. So, you know, I get it. He wants to, like, be as independent for as long as possible, and he doesn't want to seem like he needs the extra help. But, yep. I mean, it seems like it is getting progressively worse and worse, and now Chase is like, oh, now he's not going to be able to officiate the wedding. And I'm like, well, he's promised on the basis of there'd be a backup. And I think even Lois was like, well, let's find a backup, mm-hmm. you know, not too long ago. So let's actually get a backup. So I think it was actually a good thing that he like said that, because he knew that it was a possibility he might not be well enough to do it when the time came.
I have a feeling it might be that backup might be Tracy, who will marry Pimpler and Chase. Tracy, I have to say, the character of Tracy has been fantastic. She's been, not only is Jane Elliott so quick-witted, you know, but at the same time, it's at the point now where she's just stealing the show on everything, because she's not your typical wise woman, right? They're trying to turn her into Lila and, you know, being the one that everybody goes to.
No. Yeah. She's not your typical grandma. She's right. Really not.
But at the same time, she's just absolutely fantastic in the role. She's giving advice to Jocelyn. She's giving advice to Cody. She's giving advice to Brooklyn, you know, and now she's giving advice to Gregory and saying, what about an assisted living situation like Turning Woods, you know? And I am in love with that character, and my God, has it been such a turnaround for Tracy Quartermain. Instead of being just this power-hungry, business-minded mogul who just cares about the bottom line and, you know, what's best for business, she's doing what she has to do, or she's showing, you know, the people around her that she actually cares about them. Who'd have thunk it? Like, amazing.
I knew there was some level of care behind that tough exterior that she's always had. And I loved it. And I loved her at the bachelorette party. You know, they convinced her to tear it up on the dance floor, and she was out there, and that was really nice and exciting to see. So I loved it.
I guess somebody posted a video that I don't know whether it showed like after the show went off the air, or it was some behind the scenes footage of maybe Tracy twerking or Jane Elliott twerking on the dance floor. It looked like a fan cam footage or something.
I couldn't have kept that on GH.
Holy crap. Although, I have to say, I love Lois. I love the character of Lois, and I absolutely love the character of Olivia. But please do not let them dance the Bensonhurst style ever, ever again. That that scene where they go ahead and start just busting out with the, I can't even say the uber white person dance, but because most even white women can still dance. I'm sorry, I'm saying that. Most white men cannot dance. I know I cannot dance, but and I don't mean to bring it into a race thing. I'm just pointing out the fact that women, no matter what race they are, can usually dance. This was not that.
Yeah, it was a little cringy. little cringy. It was funny, but it was cringy. Like, it was cute for them because they're friends, but, like, it was cringy. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, oh, my God. And I apologize if I made anybody uncomfortable because I said white women or white men, whatever. I didn't mean to make it into a race thing. I'm just trying to just say, you know, I know for a fact I can't dance. So, you know, but the fact that most women can dance, it just wasn't. And maybe it was supposed to be a comical, you know, a comedy spot, but holy cow. All right. But overall, we are getting to the point where the wedding is imminent within the next week or so. You know, however, you know, we did talk about it last week with Angela, that Michael Easton may be out. So Finn may not be much longer for General Hospital. And also, I have a feeling that Gregory Harrison may not be long for this world either. And maybe right after the wedding, he's no longer going to be with us. Gregory Chase may pass away like right after the wedding. That looks, because it looks like the ALS has gotten so much worse in a very long, very short amount of time. But
yeah,
the rumor about Michael Easton seems to be all but confirmed. But I've heard differing things. I've heard that they want to make Elizabeth and or Liz and Finn like Steve and Audrey, but then I just heard that Finn was. I don't know.
No. What's real? Whoever's saying that, let's just shut that down. No. Just no. I mean, look, like, I wish the best to Michael Easton, but Finn is not it. Finn has not been.
I wish they went back to the McBain character. That was by far the best character he ever played. And, you know, in my opinion, of course.
Right. Mine too. We agree on that one.
You know, and Nathan's, let's kind of catch up on chat a little bit. Chad's been chatting up. Thank you so much, Chad, for being interactive with us. I apologize that I haven't really mentioned too much of it. But he did say on today's episode, some of the answers to the questions that I've asked will be there. You know, I've thought about ultimately what is Cyrus's end game. I mean, is it possible he's using it to get Sunny out of the way? I'm still waiting to see. Yeah, I get the feeling this was Trina's way of being close to Spencer. And do you think it's possible they could be changing it to reveal he was actually Spencer's instead of Nicholas's? I agree there. Yeah, Laura and Kevin have enough. I'm sure they'd be able to afford daycare, but both of you make good points. Yes, it's his pride. He's going to have to come to a place where he realizes that his ALS is progressing faster. And while I understand he doesn't want to give up his independence, he's going to need help. And incredible what they've done with Tracy. I love what they've done with her. So, no, that was on the show itself. About the dancing, but I think her dance scenes were just the actors cutting loose, which normally is what it is. Nathan said the engagement party with the ladies was cringy and just weird. You're not the only ones. And Jeannie says, I hate that they gave him ALS. MS at least is a lot slower. You could live with MS. ALS is, you know, a death sentence. I'm glad that they didn't, you know, I'm glad they didn't come up with a miracle cure for him. I kind of wish that maybe it was a misdiagnosis because Gregory Harrison is a fantastic actor.
I have nothing against Gregory Harrison or Michael Easton. It's just the characters themselves are just kind of bland and boring for me. So the fact is if they're not going to be on the show any longer, I'm not going to cry any tears about it. Personally, just because of it, so they're just not my favorite characters. They're just kind of bland to me. But I mean, it's sad for other fans, I'm sure. But it's for me, it's just kind of like, eh. Chase is the most exciting one of the all those Chase men. Okay, it's just sorry.
He's the most exciting. I have to agree. Chase is the most lively.
Most lively.
the most lively. So I have to give kudos to Alexis. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not a huge Nancy Legrand fan, as I've said before, but Alexis has been really good lately. I like the scene with her and Finn, where Finn went to her and just like, you know, where Finn goes to her and is like, I'm about to go to a meeting because I'm upset with my father and this and that. And they kind of talk things out. And I really like that, you know, and I like the fact that Alexis could be friends with both Finn and Gregory. And there's not that romantic relationship with Gregory because that would just, you know, as it is with all soaps, you know, you slept with the son, now sleeping with the father. You know, I've heard that, you know, we've seen that on soaps many times before. But, you know, I liked how Alexis talked him down. And, you know, he's like, oh, I better go talk to my dad now. And he's like, well, she's like, well, what about the meeting? Well, I could go to a meeting another night. She's like, you got to take care of yourself first. And that's, you know, words of wisdom. That has nothing to do even with addiction problems. It's just you have to take care of yourself first. And that's what 95% of life is taking care of yourself before you could even think to take care of anybody else. Like, you know, they're saying, in order to love somebody, you have to love yourself first, you know? And that's what it boils down to. And I have to applaud her for actually saying that and being that, you know, beacon of wisdom for Finn.
I agree. I think in recovery for yourself, if you're recovering from any kind of addiction or alcoholism or anything that could be an addiction for you, I think recovery is really important. And it's one of those areas of your life that I think you should be allowed to be selfish about.
Yes.
That you need to put that as a priority. And I know for me, that's something I've been struggling with lately. So that is really important. And I'm glad Alexis gave him that advice. So.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and start wrapping things up. Another sad note to go over. It was broken over last week that John Lindstrom and Katie McLean have decided to separate after 10 years of marriage. They did break that news on their Instagram that it was a mutual decision. So all support to both of them.
Wishing them well.
Let's see, kind of catching up on chat a little bit. Chad says I've started following Michael Easton on Instagram. I'm enjoying his posts. I know I'm in the minority, but I like Finn. Him and Liz are blah, but I think Finn, as far as being a father, is good. Yeah, I get that. When he had Violet, or found Violet, kind of humbled him a little bit.
Chad, I guess. To some degree, it's cute.
Chad goes on to say, I miss McBain. He was great as McBain. My favorite Michael Easton character was Caleb on Port Charles. I didn't watch so much Port Charles, so I really didn't. I'm not familiar with that character.
Right. Wouldn't that be funny if they kind of brought like a vampire element back into General Hospital and made him a vampire? That'd be really exciting to see Elizabeth be with a vampire. Now that would make it a little more interesting.
Yeah, it would. I agree. It would.
Get up a notch. No, they're not going to come here.
I don't know if they want necessarily too much supernatural activity on General Hospital.
No, they're not.
Poor Charles. That was good for Passions.
They could get away with that on Days of Our Lives. They would do campy crap like that on Days. I feel like you could get away with that on Days. Like, they would do that kind of random
stuff. Jeannie said, on YNR, Nikki Newman has had MS for 15 years. Seldom mention it. I honestly didn't know that. I was watching YNR for a little while, at least. I didn't even know that. I knew she had an alcohol problem. I didn't know that she had MS. Then Chad goes, absolutely, those are the moments where I like Alexis and what she said to Finn. And, oh, yes, my support to them and wishing them both well. All right, so we're just about out of time. Again, I do want to thank everybody for watching. Hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. If you're listening on the podcast feed, go ahead and give us a 5-star Apple review. Go on to Twix and tag at 10th Floor GH and wish Matt a happy birthday. Tell him we did sing to him if he didn't watch it, so that he could listen to it. And I apologize. I am not the best singer. And no, I'm not jumping out of a cake either. But as always, we're going to go ahead and we're going to end the show like we always do with our thankful minute. So as always, ladies first, Christy, I'm going to go ahead and set the timer.
Yes, I'm yawning.
What
here.
Is your thankful minute this week?
My thankful minute is I'm thankful for friends who are checking in on me, like you, Vinny. I just feel like so much is like people just on social media going, oh, well, your life is so great. You're traveling and you're doing this and that. I'm like, did you know the reason I'm traveling is because my aunt died in February? I mean, people just don't put, like, that just doesn't register for people. So I'm glad for friends. I'm happy for friends checking in on me and being there for me. I'm grateful for my bonus mom that I live with, who has been checking in on me and been the one who encouraged me to wake me up with coffee to go to church. Even if I take a nap after church, that's still a really good thing. And I'm grateful for my boss, for just the gracious boss she is, and getting bereavement ice cream on Friday. I have bereavement ice cream. It's great. So yeah, I mean, I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful Chase and Brooklyn talked about money the other week. I wasn't here. I didn't mention that because I wasn't here for that week of GH, but I'm grateful they talked about money because that's something very important to talk about for them before they get married. So I was grateful for that. And yeah, you know, that's my thankful minute.
All right. And I'm going to go ahead and do mine. I am thankful for my job. I'm starting to cross train already. I was actually chosen to be team member of the first quarter, and I'd only been there for a month. So I'm very happy at this job. And, you know, it's just there's more opportunities there. So I like it. But I'm also thankful that, you know, my stock in terms of my podcast is growing. The fact that Guy Evett, or, you know, the PR team, I should say, for Sitting Ringside for David Penzer, reached out to me to see if I wanted to have him on the podcast. That made me feel good. And there's also something going on that I was offered to be the main media contact for an event happening in San Antonio, Texas next year, possibly, that's in the works. So I'm thankful that the stock is growing. God is good, regardless of what you feel in terms of, you know, regardless of what you feel in terms of religion, there's definitely a higher power out there. I personally do believe in God, but, you know, whatever you feel, there is always that higher power looking out for you. But anyways, all right. So with that said, I think we've gone over everything. And folks, remember, we are officially an affiliate for WWE Shop, which is a Fanatics experience. Go to sudsandsquarecircle.com/wrestlingmerch. That has our affiliate code in the link. Buy this awesome WWE merchandise. We do get a commission off of it. And anyways, go ahead, subscribe, get notified. Thank you for liking it. Thank you for watching. Give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m. right here, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific, Dockside at the Bay. Kim and I will be going over episodes 7 and 8 of season 1 of The Bay. Watch that on Peacock, Amazon Prime, Tubi TV, Popstar. Outside of that, we are out of time. For Christy, I'm Vinny. We will see you back next week right here. Suds News, brought to you by Suds in the Squared Circle. Have a great night, everybody. All right.